Hey there, this is Wesley Ryan, and thanks for tuning in to a brand new episode of The Positive Psychology of Pop Music, a show where I try to find the most inspiring messages from positive psychology and, you guessed it, pop music. But the show also allows me to talk to some of my own personal musical inspirations, and I typically have quite a bit to say about our conversation. But if you were to do a word count for this week's episode, it would probably clock in at about half of what I typically say. And that's not just because the artist we're featuring this week plays mostly instrumental music, it's also due to how eloquently she spoke about some very inspiring moments in her life. This week's artist is the incredibly talented Finola Sherry from the multi-platinum selling worldwide phenomenon duo Secret Garden. I'm really excited to play some beautiful and moving instrumental pieces in the next hour, and if I'm going to start with a song from Secret Garden, which, spoiler alert, I am, there's no better way to do that than with a track entitled Song from a Secret Garden. But don't let the simplicity of that name fool you. This song says a lot without saying a word. Kicking off this week's episode of The Positive Psychology of Pop Music, this is Finola Sherry and Rolf Loveland with Song from a Secret Garden. That was Song from a Secret Garden from Secret Garden, and if you're like me, that song moved you to tears. And if you're like me, you also may be wondering how someone can put so much emotion and passion into a musical instrument. That's why the very first question I asked Secret Garden's Finola Sherry was where all of that musical talent comes from. I've really been listening to Secret Garden, and your violin is amazing. It's just so beautiful.
Oh, bless. Thank you. You wouldn't think that if you heard me playing a while ago. Shite.
Well, I've read a little bit about you, and I know you grew up in a musical family, but I was wondering who you credited the most for teaching you the violin.
I think, you know, there's a few strands to that because it's kind of it's such a difficult instrument. In a sense, you can like learn basic technique and all of that, but then you have to be influenced, you know? I mean, I got an amazing technique, but in a very harsh and over-disciplinarian way from a violin teacher called Brian McNamara. Now, I do thank him for giving me, a phenomenal bowing technique in a way and a sound, but it was sort of brutally cruel. And in one way, he was building up a technique, but on the other hand, he was, you know, reducing my confidence to less than zero. And but I was with him for very formative years from about 12 to 18, 19, and then he kicked me out because he said he had no more to do with me. But so from a technical point of playing the instrument, he was, you know, seriously important. But from putting the heart and soul and feeling, it would really come down to an Irish composer called Tommy Kelly, who went on his name, T.C. Kelly, and he was a very close family friend. And, he was always sitting at the piano writing and arranging for everybody else. And he was just one of these magical sort of old school kind of teachers. And he taught in a local school, but he was just the most beautiful arranger and producer. And from an early age, he encouraged me, used to sit at the piano with me and let me just doodle and play. And I used to actually make up my own piano tunes, and then I would draw pictures, and he was a great artist. And we would kind of work that way. And then I went on to the violin, and we did the same. So he just taught me really the value of a good tune and of saying something with it and just brought out something magical in it. And unfortunately, Tommy died when I just turned pro, when I just started working in the orchestra. And he's somebody that I dearly miss ever since. But he never saw the whole Secret Garden side of my career.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I'm sure he would have been very proud and inspired by it.
I hope so.
I know I have been. I think one of the most important things we can take from being so introspective is an understanding of what has led to us being who we are and a gratitude to those people who've helped us along the way. But as I certainly know, and as I suspect you do as well, it's not always just the people in our immediate lives that have a profound impact on who we are and who we become. So much of who I am has been shaped by the music I've listened to over the years, and as Finola told me about the first track on her list of musical inspirations, I could tell the same was true for her.
First one is Barbra Streisand, and it is a song called Evergreen. This is going back decades. I was a kid at home, and I remember it came on in the radio, and I remember just stopping and just hearing this voice, and I was like, wow, who is that? Who is, it was just, you know, I remember asking my mom, like, who's singing that? Who, you know, and I was just struck. There was something about the phrase. I didn't know at the time whether I was struck by the phrase, but I obviously was. There was just something about how that voice sounded and how it sang those melodies. And of course, it turned out to be Barbra Streisand. And, you know, funny enough, all the way through. And then when I started playing more and more, I just, so I've always been so inspired by how she sounds. Like she's just, it's just this amazing way of phrasing a melody. And that's why it was so cool for us that when she actually recorded one of our songs, Heartstrings,
yes,
and she said she was inspired by listening to me, I probably, you know, recorded that being inspired by her. So talk about a full circle, you know.
That was Barbra Streisand with Evergreen, the first track on Secret Garden's Finola Sherry's list of musical inspirations. One of the coolest things about this show is getting the opportunity to talk to those people who've influenced my life and career, just like Finola Sherry. It's always great when we get the chance to interact with our heroes and those who've inspired us. And the only thing cooler than that is when you inspire the people that have inspired you. That's certainly the case between Barbra Streisand and Secret Garden, as Barbra not only recorded a song inspired by Finola and Rolf, but she also used one of Secret Garden's tracks as her wedding song. And then keeping this circle of inspiration going, Secret Garden, with the help of the incredibly talented Tracy Campbell, recorded a very moving mashup of those two tracks for the live album they released last year. I'll be talking to Finola a lot about that concert and the album in this episode, and I suspect the story behind it will move you as much as it did me. But for now, let's just check out one of the incredibly moving pieces from that experience. If you've tossed your hanky aside, I don't know what made you think you'd get away with just one in this episode, so my advice is to grab another as we check out the very moving Heartstrings and I've Dreamed of You from Secret Garden featuring Tracy Campbell. That was Secret Garden featuring Tracy Campbell with the beautiful Heartstrings and I've Dreamed of You. Now, Secret Garden has released so many moving songs over the years, and some of them you may be more familiar with than others. But just as it is in life, it's not always those biggest, most public moments that can profoundly change someone's life. And I was happy to share with Finola that I personally became aware of Secret Garden's music when another of my favorite artists, the incredible Tyler Ward, introduced me to one of their tracks on this show and talked about how important it was not only to his musical career, but to the power of music in his life. Well, I'm so excited. I don't know if I also mentioned how I came across your music. I'd heard some of it through the years, but I interviewed an artist named Tyler Ward. He said that your song, Reflections, was the most important song in his entire career. He said that that's when he...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he said that that's when he really began to understand what music can do for people. So he introduced me to you, and I'm forever grateful.
Wow, please, if you're ever talking to him, will you please get in touch, and I'll be happy to say thank you. And that's such a random song to choose. It's interesting. It's actually one of my favorites, and we just recorded it recently on our duo album, much to Rob's dislike. In a way, I had to push him to do it, because Rob has never rated that song at all. You know, it's not one that we perform really or anything. So, but I you know, so it's kind of interesting that that's the one that spoke to him. One would be the violin theme tune to Schindler's List, of course, played by Isaac Perlman, written by John Williams. It's just one of those themes that is timeless, beautiful, amazing playing, and it just totally puts you in that moment. And it's only that you feel that there's such a sense of that Jewish kind of sound, which is kind of unique to that school of violin playing, and it's just beautiful. It's just pure gold.
That was the theme from Schindler's List, one of the musical inspirations that Secret Garden's Finola Sherry shared with us on this week's episode of The Positive Psychology of Pop Music. That piece is incredibly moving, not just because of its musical composition, but also because of the story behind it. And some of the most moving songs and pieces of music ever written were inspired by tragedy, suffering, and loss. Sometimes on a grand scale, but other times just from one person's individual journey. I'm fairly confident so many of you were moved by the live number from Secret Garden we heard just a few moments ago. But I suspect once you hear the story of Finola's journey to that concert, you'll be even more moved and inspired by her strength, her determination, and her inspiring words.
Something that was interesting is I read that you broke both of your arms a few years back.
Yeah. That concert that you just referred to now, the live concert, that was the very first performance that I did after breaking my two arms.
Wow.
So talk about, you know, setting the bar high and setting an unrealistic challenge. As I kept saying to Rob, geez, could we not just go and do a Licky concert somewhere in Bally Go Backwards and see do things work? But no, we were doing our 20th anniversary celebration concert with orchestra. We were filming it with special guests, and that literally was the first time I walked on stage, and I broke 5 bones in my right arm, and I broke my left elbow, completely smashed the whole elbow. So it was a bit of long rehab and recovery and more rehab after those concerts, but at least I'm back, and it was a shock to the system, but you know, the body's stronger than we think it is sometimes, you know, when you're determined you need to get back. I had to get back. There was no choice.
You know, what got you through the recovery and the rehab for that?
There's a few things that happened actually around the time. Strangely enough, just about a month or two before I broke my arms, there was a lot going on in my personal life, but actually I was toying with the idea of giving up, which is, you know, hard for me to even think of that now. And I just felt, oh gosh, if I hit a brick wall again, I don't think I can keep doing this. And we had just done 2 concerts in Singapore and Kuala Lumpur, and they were kind of the make or break concerts, whether I was going on or calling it a day with Secret Garden. And for some amazing reason, those concerts, they just went fabulous. Kuala Lumpur was a new place. We hadn't actually performed there before. And I just thought, no, I have to keep going. So I came home, had Christmas, and then into the winter, and I had decided, okay, I'm going to really start rehearsing like crazy now, knowing that we were going to go into our anniversary year. And next thing, I fell and I broke everything. So it was like, well, is somebody upstairs laughing at me now for thinking such bad thoughts before? Or what the hell do I do? And I mean, it was really serious, because even in the hospital, the surgeons, like, they were very like, we're not sure what we can do here. And, you know, it's basically we do our best. And it is amazing when I came out of the operations and suddenly left with, you know, when you have 2 broken arms, there's not much you can do. And I suddenly had to rely on my husband, or had to get in a full-time nurse. So it was, you know, the first 6 weeks, 7 weeks is you're totally have lost control of everything. And it's not a nice place to be. But the interest, I didn't have an epiphany moment like some people do when they get really sick or things happen. I think I'm not deep enough for that. But the only thing that actually I think was really important to me was that it was like, well, this is not how I'm going to finish my career. This is not it. I mean, failure is not an option. I am getting back up. And I'm going to play, you know, until it's right to stop. And that's what drove me. It was just every day. And I actually used to lie on the couch because I couldn't just imagine that everything was healing itself. I was just begging my body to heal, you know. Mm. And I learned a bit of mindfulness, which was phenomenal for me at the time, because I actually, we were doing 2 hours of physio a day, 1 hour in each arm, which was horrendously cruel and torturous. And the mindfulness even got me through all that, but just not fighting with the pain, just going with it, just allowing whatever was happening to happen. And it was amazing. And every 2 weeks when I went back to the surgeons, I was always at least 4, 5, 6 weeks ahead of where I should have been in schedule in terms of healing. They couldn't believe it. And I was on no medication, no painkillers, no morphine, no nothing, no anti-inflammatories. I asked for nothing because I actually, for some reason, something told me that I would heal better without anything. Hmm. And I just walked every day. You know, I got brought down to the gym every morning, and they worked on my lower body to get fit as quick as possible. And we just went from there, and it just was 6 months of really hard rehab. Yeah. But I think it was just the feeling that you just, you know, you just have to get on and do it, and there's no time to feel sorry. You know, I think when you start feeling like you're a victim or blame something or blame any circumstances, then, you know, that's sort of a difficult tunnel to get out of. I just chose to, I guess, look at it like if you were an Olympic athlete or something, and you look at all those professional sports people, they get injuries all the time and they have to fight their way back. And I just thought, okay, that's what I have to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, I think you nailed it. Some of us, you know, we wait for that big inspired moment or, you know, something to trigger perspective, but it's an everyday determination. You have to decide what you can control and make that happen. So that's a beautiful message.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Arthur.
I was so incredibly moved by Finola's story of recovery and resilience. Sometimes we look at people who've gone through very difficult circumstances and who've come out on the other side as being very special and unique. And don't get me wrong, there are plenty of beautiful, special, and unique things about Finola Sherry. But the power of the human spirit and positive thinking isn't at all unique to her or her story. As so many of you have shared with me, and as I've been fortunate enough to know myself, there's something incredibly powerful about our ability to deal with negative life circumstances, to overcome them, and to achieve goals that we never thought possible or that we were even told weren't possible. That's why stories like Finola's are so important. Because when we are down, when we're going through the tough times, it's hard to remember the power that we have. But listening to inspiring music and remembering inspiring stories can build a foundation that lifts us up and gets us through anything. That's a message I'm so thrilled Finola shared, and it also reminded me of another Secret Garden song. When I think about the songs that move and inspire me, and I think about the determination and resilience people like Finola have shared, I like to think of all of that as my silent wings. I may not always be aware of them, but when I need them, they're there. And that's the name of the next track we're about to hear. This is Silent Wings from Secret Garden.
Here's a funny one. Hans Zimmer, The Last Samurai, and the opening theme tune of that is just so stunning because he writes, he doesn't use any violins in the score, and it's just, it's a cello playing so high and so in the heavens, and it's so beautiful and really, really put hairs on your arms. And I was really lucky enough to be in LA when they were actually recording that, and I was with Hans in the studio. And I saw it firsthand, and the very first time I heard it, it was like, oh my God, this is just out of this world. It's surreal. It's just ridiculous. And it was so clever and so beautiful. And actually, even now, anytime if it comes up, I hear it, it's like, wow, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's amazing. I mean, you could pick any team from Hans. And actually, Hans likes Austria, which is nice. He told us once that when he wrote the theme music for Shrek, and Fiona's team, he was inspired by our Nocturne, which was the song that we won the Eurovision with.
Yeah.
And actually, you can hear it in the theme.
That's fantastic. You know? Now I'm going to have to go pair those two things together as well.
Yeah, you can hear it.
That was Secret Garden with Nocturne, a track that inadvertently led to the music of Shrek, a pop culture phenomenon. And speaking of things related to Shrek that are both moving and adored all over the world, it's time to check out Fionnuala Sherry's final choice for her list of musical inspirations, which I also firmly believe is one of the most moving songs ever written.
You know, two of my heroes died last year, but, you know, Leonard Cohen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I mean, it's just one of those songs, and even when it's covered by so many people, it's actually one of these songs that even makes anybody that covers it sound good.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's such a perfectly written song, and if it's just somebody in a pub with a guitar and a voice, or if it's a huge production with an orchestra, it's just a little diamond. It really is. And of course, he was magic.
Well, speaking of success that maybe you couldn't have even dreamed, you know, you've worked with so many great artists, so many wonderful songs, but You Raise Me Up has become one of the most recognized and loved songs in the entire world.
It's a strange one. I think sometimes we forget. You know, it's not funny, you think about it all the time, and then I could be suddenly walking down the street and there's a panpiper busking it, and you go, Oh God, there it is. And it's like, wow, you know, sometimes it just stops, you know, without us, that melody wouldn't be there. So it sort of hits you in the most unusual ways. It's not like when you hear that, you know, it may be the big stuff or the big important things, but it's sometimes are just going to somebody's funeral and they don't maybe know I'm there, and then somebody sings it, or, you know, you just hear it in the most strange places. And, It's at least, you know, we've contributed something to the planet, because I think it's one of these songs that will just go on, and it has its own life now and its own journey, and so many people have done amazing versions of it. And, you know, I think I'm proud of Rolf and I, because of our partnership, that this song came about, you know, and it's bigger than us, it's bigger than anybody. It's its own song, really, at this stage, you know?
I could go on and on about how much I love this next song and how it speaks to everything we've talked about in the past hour. There is something so beautiful about the human spirit and our ability to overcome obstacles. It's so empowering when it happens, and the emotions that it creates can have an immeasurable inspirational impact on all of those around us. And the impact of those that inspire us, whether they're actually in our lives today, whether they're no longer with us, or whether we've never met them and they've created a piece of art or music that's greatly inspired us, we need all of that support to raise us up in our times of need. This song has done that for me and millions of people across the world, and my hope is that this show does the same for anyone who hears it. You can download this episode of The Positive Psychology of Pop Music on iTunes, where you can also find all of the music you heard in this episode, including the incredibly moving live album from Secret Garden. It contains the beautiful live version of the final song in the show, and again, I hope you kept that box of Kleenex handy, because you're gonna need it. For The Positive Psychology of Pop Music, I'm Wesley Ryan, and with You Raise Me Up, this is Secret Garden. I am strong. Shoulders, you raise me up to more than I.